Well, Mataraj, he was, I said, can you dance to this? He said, I have to go to Braj to learn Braj dancing. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namaskritya. Om Shaiva Marotami. Devi Sasatyam Vyasam. Tato Jayo Mudiraya. Vinashta Preshu Abhadeshu. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Bhagavat Yutva Sloke. Bhakti Bhavati Nishtaki. Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our very means of conquest, let us offer our obeisances unto the personality of Godhead, Lord Narayana, unto Narayana Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, and unto Srila Vyasadeva, the author. By regular attendance and classes in the Bhagavatam, and by rendering service to the pure devotee, all that is inauspicious within the heart is practically destroyed, and thus, loving service to the personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental song, is established as an irrevocable fact. Today, we're reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 13, Text 15. Manasvino nirjita dikajendra. Mameti sarve bhuvi bhadhavaira. Vidhe sairam natu tat vajanti. Yanyasta dando gata vairo bhiyati. Manasvino nirjita dikajendra. Mameti sarve bhuvi bhadhavaira. Vite shariram natu tat vajanti. Yanyasta dando gata vairo bhiyati. Manasvino nirjita dikajendra. Mameti sarve bhuvi bhadhavaira. Vidhe shariram natu tat vajanti. Yanyasta dando gata vairo bhiyati.
convinced. I'm a very difficult person.
I don't see the real one. We need to change the font.
To what now? Change the font.
My name's Sinoni Zedipenda.
My name's Sinoni Zedipenda.
I am love.
Thank you. It happens when you have the book. Huh? These are the people that are really into it. They have the book, they read it before. Okay, word for word translation. Manasvina.
Very great heroes.
Mental speculators. Prabhupada, it sounds like it's a sarcastic translation there. It must be based on the what he's heard from the acharyas. Nirjitadik Gajendra, who have conquered many other heroes as powerful as elephants. Mama, my land, my country, my family, my community, my religion. Iti, thus, sarve, all, great political, social, and religious leaders. Puvi, in this world, Badhavaira, who have created enmity among themselves. Vridhi, in battle. Shariran, fall dead on the ground. Na, not. To, but. Tat, the abode of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Prajanti, approach. Yet, which. Nyastadanda, a sannyasi. Gatavaira, who has no enmity throughout the whole world. Abhiyati, attains that perfection. Purport, translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So, Jadbard is continuing to preach or to counsel Maharaj Rahoguna. He's telling him, there were and are many political and social heroes who have conquered enemies of equal power. Yet, due to their ignorance in believing that the land is theirs, they fight one another and lay down their lives in battle. They are not able to take up the spiritual path accepted by those in the renounced order. Although they are big heroes and political leaders, they cannot take to the path of spiritual realization. Shall we say it together? Okay. There were and are many political and social heroes who have conquered enemies of equal power. Yet, due to their ignorance in believing that the land is theirs, they fight one another and lay down their lives in battle. They are not able to take up the spiritual path accepted by those in the renounced order. Although they are big heroes and political leaders, they cannot take to the path of spiritual realization. Big political leaders might be able to conquer equally powerful political enemies, but unfortunately, they cannot subdue their strong senses, the enemies that always accompany them. Not being able to conquer these nearby enemies, they simply try to conquer other enemies. And ultimately, they die in the struggle for existence. They do not take to the path of spiritual realization or become sannyasis. Sometimes these big leaders take up the guise of a sannyasi and call themselves mahatmas. But their only business is conquering their political enemies. This is very politically incorrect, what Prabhupada is saying here. Well, actually, I think it's His Holiness Ridayananda Maharaj who's commenting here. But you can see he's definitely following in the line and the mood of Srila Prabhupada. Because they spoil their lives with the illusion of this is my land and my family, they cannot progress spiritually and attain liberation from the clutches of Maya. Om Jnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. I was born in the darkest of ignorance, but my spiritual master is forcing open my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my humble obeisances unto him. Panchakalpa Charubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivashadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So when I was reading this verse, I was thinking of, immediately my mind went to a very famous king in the Krishna book, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, named Muchukunda. He was saying prayers along this line to the Lord. Does everybody here know who Muchukunda is? Shall I give a little background information? It's always, even if you know, it's always nice to hear about them because these are great personalities. Muchukunda was a great king that lived a long time ago. He was still existing at the time of Lord Krishna, which was 5,000 years ago when Lord Krishna appeared before us. But he was sleeping. He had been a great king who was so powerful and so pious that even the demigods asked him to help them in conquering their enemies. So according to Vedic knowledge, the demigods are the universal administrators, those who are overseeing the well-being and order of the universe. But they also have persons who are trying to conquer them. Those are the asuras, or those who are not godly and who also want to have a say in the universal affairs, but their input is not in the interest of little guys like us. So this struggle for existence in the material world is always going on. So Muchukunda had this power, even though he was born as a human being, to enter into the realm of the demigods and to help them conquer the forces of evil. So he did that for a very, very long time. And after some time, the demigods became powerful, largely due to his assistance. And they told Muchukunda Maharaj, we'd like to give you a benediction because you've helped us so much. Muchukunda then found out that his kingdom, thank you, Venerable, that his kingdom and his family and all his friends and relatives were no more. Because although he had been able to enter into the realm of the demigods, they hadn't. So he didn't have much to go back to as far as his personal attachments were concerned. But one thing he did say was that he was very tired after all this fighting. He didn't have the body of a demigod, although he had power for some time. So his benediction that he asked was that he could have uninterrupted sleep. Which you can imagine, he after being so tired. And he said, what I would also like to ask is that if anybody disturbs me while I'm sleeping, that just by looking at them, I can burn them to ashes. Well, sometimes when you wake somebody, you've heard the expression, if looks could kill, I would be dead. So, but he actually had it. If he looked at you angry, you would be finished. People said that about Srila Prabhupada too, huh? That if Prabhupada looked at you when you is angry, if it didn't kill you, you wished you could die. I could tell stories that I've heard about that, but I won't get too digressed here. Anyway, so Muchukunda was sleeping in a cave, and one Kalayavana was pursuing Krishna. So Krishna entered into this cave. Krishna's a genius. In the Nectar Devotion, Rupa Goswami says that Krishna is a genius, and one aspect of his being a genius is that he can accomplish many goals with one activity. So Muchukunda was sleeping in the cave. By the way, Muchukunda was not only a devotee of the demigods, he also had devotion for the Lord. He worshipped Krishna many times. So he had some purity of heart there. So Krishna wanted to benedict him, and at the same time, Krishna didn't want to be involved in killing Kalayavana. I mean, Kalayavana was a very low class man, and Krishna didn't want to, so to speak, get his hands dirty. So he went into this cave where Muchukunda was sleeping, and he hid in the cave. And when Kalayavana came in the cave, he thought, "Oh, look at this guy! He's sleeping. He's hiding. Not only is he hiding from me, not only is he a coward, but he's lazy." So he kicked Muchukunda. He thought it was Krishna. Can you imagine? So Muchukunda, of course, woke up, and he looked at Kalayavana. So it was Kalayavana literally went up in smoke. So by the time this time Muchukunda had calmed down a little bit, Krishna came in front of him. Of course, the glance of Muchukunda could not harm Krishna, who actually appeared in front of Muchukunda in a four-armed form. More than that, by seeing the Lord, Muchukunda became, of course, very peaceful. And he explained himself who he was, and he asked the Lord who he was. And then when he found out that the Lord was present before him, Muchukunda began to offer beautiful prayers. And one of the prayers he offered, which I always liked it so much, this great, powerful king, he said, "My dear Lord, we come under the full control of this inevitable time, not only after death, but also in a different way while living. For example, I may be a powerful king, And yet when I come home after conquering the world, I become subjected to many material conditions. When I come back victorious, all subordinate kings may come and offer their respects. But as soon as I enter the intersection of my palace, I myself become an instrument in the hands of the queens. And for sense gratification, I have to fall down at the feet of women. So he's admitting what has been said in the purport today. The material way of life is so complicated that before taking the enjoyment of material life, one has to work so hard that there is scarcely any opportunity even for peaceful enjoying. And to attain all material facilities, one has to undergo severe austerities and penances. So you can see that even though one may be such a great so-called controller and admired by many men, the real master is the master of the senses. Just like today, it's well all these different kind of heroes. Prabhupada says, whether qualified or not, if one is advertised by the media, one will become a hero overnight. So I don't know about you, but all my heroes that I heard about when I was growing up, they all died horrible deaths. Because, you know, the heroes were the actors, the singers. And they all became addicts. They all became slaves of their senses. So when I hear this kind of passages from the Shastra, I think, yes, it's really true. No matter how famous or so-called influential or powerful you are, if you have not come under the if you have not controlled the senses, then you are not powerful. You are unfortunate. So as far as controlling the senses is concerned, when I hear passages, it's kind of like, it's like a domino effect in my mind, especially if I had to give a class, then I think of how this is all connected with what I've heard before. So then when I heard about this idea of becoming master of the senses, I remembered another king, and that was King Yudhisthira. One time, Lord Krishna told King Yudhisthira that he, the Lord, is conquered by the love of one who has conquered his senses. One who has not conquered his senses cannot conquer the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is the secret of devotional service. So I'd like to just throw a little question out there. We can have a little discussion. What does conquering the senses mean for devotees? What does it mean to conquer the senses? Mr. Jerry? Yes, exactly. Exactly. To conquer the senses means to engage them constantly in the service of the Lord. The specific qualification of all the Pandava brothers was that they always engaged their senses in the Lord's service. One who thus engages his senses becomes purified. And with purified senses, the devotee can actually render transcendental loving service to the Lord and conquer him. So, of course, what does it mean to conquer the Lord? Do we want to conquer Krishna? Do we want to... Yes?
To give Krishna so much love that he can resist it.
So it's not a matter of power, it's a matter of love. Jai. Rami, you want to... Yes, yes. And we have a relationship with him, but it's become obscured by our involvement in the material nature. So we want to get out of this cloud of illusion. And, of course, for that we need Krishna's help. If we want to have a relationship with Krishna, we have to experience Krishna's reciprocation. So conquering Krishna means that Krishna is not approachable by material senses, but he agrees to reveal himself to one whose senses have become purified by constant engagement in devotional service. So this is the unique characteristic of devotional life, is that our senses are not denied, but they're properly engaged. Shri Gopinath Ki Jai. I remember that this is what initially convinced me that devotional service, that Krishna consciousness, was the perfect path. I'd like to share with you a little bit of an article, the first article I ever read in the Back to Godhead magazine, and which immediately convinced me that I had to take to this process. And the article was very long, detailed article. I guess it was a lecture that Srila Prabhupada gave. It was so powerful. And it addressed all my main misconceptions. Well, even it wasn't my... They were the paths that had been shown to me, the path of sense enjoyment. I used to sit with my sister and she was trying to get me married to some guy, and this guy, you know, we were trying to talk some philosophy, and I said, I don't like the idea that people are controlled by lust. He goes, no, lust is good. And I said, no, it's not good. So he was trying to convince me that lust is good, and of course my sister's plan didn't work. So I didn't like material, the idea that I guess if I had a more controlled sense and joy, I would have liked it, but I wasn't good at it. I always felt disturbed and out of control. And then people would tell me voidism or Buddhism, and I would think, that sounds horrible. I mean, already feeling void, and so I have to think, embrace voidism as the solution. And then another idea was that it's all one, that we're all one with God. And that also didn't make any sense to me. So Prabhupada, in this article, he just addressed all these misconceptions very systematically. And then he said, the point is that we should keep our form, but keep it in a healthy condition. This means, not just the body, this means realizing our spiritual form or spiritual identity, which is Swarupa. It is an insanity to think, because I have this form, I am feeling pain and pleasure, so now let me become formless, which is the big thing. Huh? Everywhere you read spiritual literature today, it's even though it has some wonderful insights, I was reading a book recently called The Power of the Now, and it's all about, of course, we have that in our tradition. You should be present. Forget the past that sleeps, and of the future never dream at all, but live in times that are with thee in progress you shall call. But this man is going on about how you should stay focused in the present and the inner body and this and that. That's ultimately formless. He goes on and then you think, this guy, you know, he has some nice insights, but again, he's going to this formless business. This is strictly a materialistic view of the form of the spirit soul. The real point is to keep the form in a healthy condition. This healthy condition is called mukti, or liberation from material conceptions. How is this possible? All one has to do is simply dovetail everything to Krishna, to steep one's life in Krishna consciousness. For example, under the spell of Maya, people are moved to dance. In any case, dancing will continue. But in one case, one person is dancing in the ballroom for his own personal gratification, and another person is dancing in a temple for the satisfaction of Krishna. We have to make sure it's for the satisfaction of Krishna when we're dancing. It can get a bit tribal at times, which is okay, there's some room for that. But if you really want to dance to your full satisfaction, it has to be to Krishna's full satisfaction. There's a vast difference between the two. Ballroom dancing is considered on the platform of the material body, but in Krishna consciousness, dancing is on the spiritual platform. Therefore, the Society for Krishna Consciousness invites everyone to come and dance and sing to relish transcendental pleasure. That is the real program of this Krishna consciousness movement. It is not very difficult. A child can also dance and clap. By real singing and dancing, we can make advancement in spiritual life. The living entity can continue singing, dancing, eating, sleeping, and mating, but he should permeate these things with Krishna consciousness or God consciousness. Everyone is seeking after eternal happiness, and this is the program. There is no question of trying to merge with the void or to become formless. So this Prabhupada is emphasizing again and again that the way to control the senses is to, under the guidance of qualified persons, everything, and especially the mind and senses, should be used in the service of the Lord. And thus our existence will become purified. Of course, it seems very simple, right? Very simple. But as we experience, it may not always be easy. And especially in Kali Yuga, Kali Yuga is advancing more and more, and there's so many distractions to drag the mind and senses away from devotional activity. So let's look at what are some of these distractions. Magazines. Yeah, they have so colorful and TV, yeah. Mundane songs. So-called love, right? Yeah. Any other examples that anyone would like to suggest that are dragging our mind away from Krishna and our positive engagement in devotional service? We know the big one, right? What is the big one? Yeah. What is a distraction?
The greatest
distraction, yes.
And they say that the greatest distraction is to think that there are things more enjoyable.
The greatest distraction is to think that there are some things more enjoyable than Krishna. Who would say what I consider, what would be the number one distraction that makes us think that there's something more enjoyable than Krishna? Yeah. So-called falling in love. Of course, devotees are a little sarcastic about this. They say it's falling in lust, right? Well, maybe I'm just talking on my own personal weakness. I think the internet is the biggest distraction. Facebook. Facebook. Huh? Twitter. I don't know how to go on Twitter, thank God. One of my possible saving graces is that I'm not very good at surfing the net. Yeah. Well, the thing is that, yes? Yeah, the Swamis, yeah. They have a lot of nectar there, eh? Yes. Well, thank you very much. I was just remembering that Prabhupada was so proud of his disciples that his disciples didn't go to the cinema. But how many disciples, the cinema has come to the disciples? You can't, it's like, it's a real challenge. So many people are suffering because the internet, they're being attacked by the internet. Violence. Kali is finding his way, yeah? So let's talk about, okay, we've talked about the negative aspects. So how do we get around? What are some practical ways that we get around the distractions? Some positive ways that we answer back the tendency. Yes? Improving our quality of hearing and chanting? Is that what you say? Yeah, so improving our quality, the quality and quantity of our hearing and chanting. Jai, thank you. Yes, Prabhu. Jai. That's where the real nectar is, right? Jai, thank you. Yes? Yes, associating with advanced devotees, especially devotees that inspire you in spiritual life. Huh? Thank you, Gai. Gai is a real nectar hound. You know, as soon as he can find someone he's inspired by, he just serves them and milks them. Like they're like a cow and he's milking them. you can share something with Manjari. How you dealt with the internet problem.
There is some danger there.
Cut off of Facebook. You won't find Rupa Manjari on Facebook anymore. Yes. I totally agree with you, but I think what Rupa Manjari is helping us realize that you have to be also aware that that's a very, very good point. Well, I don't know, maybe I'm being a little bit too, milking you a little bit too much, but there's something that you do positively on the internet that's very effective for you. Yeah. Rupa Manjari is very involved in Vanipedia, and so involved in the fact that nobody can keep up with her. This is her way of dealing with the internet problem. She told me, I had to do something positive here. I was very impressed. She's contributing very much to the Vanipedia compilation of Srila Prabhupada's quotes. Recording the classes and
there needs to be balance, but you can't see everything as Maya, everything as a distraction, unless we use it in the service of Krishna for your own benefit and for your assigned service.
So what you're saying, it's very individual. And you have, like in the Bhagavad Gita Prabhupada, I think it's the Bhagavad Gita Prabhupada said, the way to use a thing in Krishna consciousness rests with the person in knowledge. So according to our level of knowledge and realization, we have to be very honest and very vigilant to know how to engage things properly. Very good point.
He's using it to get their own desires fulfilled, creating all kinds of distortions. But it depends, if you don't have the right mood, or you don't have the right goal, because sometimes you can be understood, but if you have the goal in mind, then everything can be beneficial for you.
Yes, thank you. So the very essential is our motivation and our mood in practicing spiritual life. Thank you. And you're blissed out. That's very nice. Jai. Karuna Mai?
I was just thinking about this difference between the eating disorder association and the meditation.
Yes. Yeah, so we have to make sure that that we are... This is the point that Radhika Raman made some time ago in one of his classes. The difference between a giving and taking association is when you look forward to enjoying a particular kind of association. That's when you have to be more alert. Thank you. Tulsi?
But he said, as soon as he said to him to wheel, then all his bad qualities came out. He had passion, he said,
Thank you. Yeah, so we have to be aware. It's a matter of being developed in developed consciousness. Of course, our consciousness becomes very developed when we're very fixed in our spiritual practices. We become much more in tune with the benefits and the possible downfalls of different kinds of energy that we can try to use in Krishna's service. Okay, any comments, further comments, questions? Thank you for listening patiently. I have to admit that Manohar Prabhu asked me to give class. He didn't ask me to give class. He doesn't do that anymore. He just says, when are you going to give class? And then I was busy and I forgot until just this morning. Well, last night as I was falling, I said, oh my God, I have to give class. Usually I prepare the day before. I spent quite some time researching, but this morning I had to do the research. Yes, Kona Michael. What is that? Oh, yeah. What was that in the beginning about... Just let me go to... Huh?
You said, when you were telling the story of Muchukunda, then you remembered some Prabhupada.
Let's see. I didn't want to digress too much. Oh, yes. About how looks could kill. This is a good one. The ladies are like this. I don't know. The men will probably feel okay with it, too. We don't have any sannyasis here. One time she was taking pictures of Prabhupada. That was her service. And Prabhupada, she knew how to do it in a way that didn't disturb Srila Prabhupada, my god sister Vishakha. Does everybody know who Vishakha is? She's Yadubar's wife. Very elevated Vaishnavi. Very elevated. Even I can see that. So she was taking pictures of Prabhupada. And she was also allowed to sit close to Prabhupada's Vyasa-san. But then one sannyasi, he didn't like that she was there. That wasn't those bad old days. And he took his danda and he hit her very hard on the backside with his danda. And Prabhupada saw it. And she said she would never want Prabhupada to look at her like that. Prabhupada was very kind. He didn't embarrass this sannyasi in public, but he looked at him with such chastising eyes. And the sannyasi said that she could see the sannyasi's subtle body just shrivel up. And so that's, the look of Srila Prabhupada. If you do something wrong, that especially if you're offensive to one of your family members, it's... based on some bodily designation. I mean, this was her personal experience. She doesn't share it all over the world. I don't know if we should put that on the internet. Maybe we can cut the class off today at that point because it may not be necessary. But it was an example that occurred in my mind when I thought of Muchukunda looking angrily at Kalayavana and other examples of powerful, angry glances. Of course, Prabhupada's anger was never uncontrolled. And even if Prabhupada was angry, it was never out of trying to put someone down. But he loved both persons. He loved Vishakha and he loved his sannyasi disciple, but he didn't love the misconception. And he wanted that to be burned away. So by his glance, hopefully some of that misconception that you can hate another being because of the body that they have. What's that? Spiritual life. It's nothing to do with spiritual life. You may have to be very cautious about how you interact. As a sannyasi, it's your duty, your responsibility to be very cautious how you interact with, anybody's, but especially a sannyasi's, how you interact with different bodies. But there's no room for that mistreatment or negative attitude. This kind of misconception is not unique to the younger people or younger spiritual practitioners in ISKCON. In the college, we learned that the Christians went through it too. There was always, in the beginning, a big battle between those who were renounced and those who were chaste. They called it chaste. So it's a universal principle of neophyte, neophyteness in spiritual life. Any other last comment or question? Yes, Tulsi.
I was just thinking that when we read the translation, the interpretation of the verse,
yes,
then it sounds like, you know, we're speaking about the experience, you know, who are the qualities and finding out each other. But I was thinking that actually it's also related to our own personal life, because, you know, of course,
yes,
it makes us feel like we are experienced. And for everything to understand it, and then that we want to be, you know, more powerful, and that, you know, but actually, this is, I find this just very nice to reflect a bit about how our voice in you is actually a rest.
Yes, and if we have any hope of being able to rise above the influence of the material energy, then we have to bow down to Krishna and do that with great focus and prayerfulness, and then Krishna's power will act to elevate us and control our mind and senses. And that's why Prabhupada gave us such a regulated lifestyle. This is real yoga, connecting with love. Yes.
I don't want to know what is Facebook. Because I ask Maharaj, because I don't have Facebook, and many devotees tell me, you know, you have to have Facebook, you know, it's going to help you for Krishna, especially new devotees like me, you know, many devotees tell me, yeah, you have to go to Facebook. And just I asked Maharaj, what Maharaj about this, and for me, of course you can use Facebook for Krishna, but we are not in this level, you know. We are not like the beginning, or even my job, we are not in this level to use Facebook for Krishna, because we can very rapid, very quickly go, you know, to Maya. So it can be, Sanasi can do it, but not really like all Krishna's.
So yeah, he can understand that, you know, for you it could be, it has the potential to be a great distraction. So he discouraged you from using it, right? Yeah, I mean, I have to admit, I have a Facebook account, and I like to keep in contact with some of people that I know that are around the world. But I have to admit, I also find it distracting at times. But it's becoming less and less distracting because I have one more good association these days. So that's I will just say, if you are strong and you know how to use it properly, then I wouldn't discourage you. But if you feel that it's pulling you away from Krishna, then you should say, okay, I'm out of here. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaur Bhaktivinoda ki jai.